And now I'd like you to meet my dear friend and mentor, 88-year-old Seymour Bernstein. Oh, wait. I've never met Seymour Bernstein, but I feel as if I have, and I don't want him to leave. Seymour was an acclaimed concert pianist when he up and quit at the age of 50 to write, compose, and teach. Now he's the subject of a new documentary, and here he demonstrates the need for players to have a palette of emotions by playing Beethoven.
Do you know how many men try to subdue the feminine in them? Well, look, here's Beethoven. I mean, that's a man doing this, right?
Lucky for those of us not good enough to take lessons with Seymour Bernstein, actor Ethan Hawke sat next to him at a dinner party, and the result is the new documentary, Seymour, An Introduction. And Seymour Bernstein joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And your thoughts when an actor says to you, I want to make a movie about you?
My first reaction was, now, why would anyone want to make a documentary on the likes of me? But I did find out eventually. You see, I wrote a book called With Your Own Two Hands.
Yeah.
And the thesis of that book is that a serious involvement in practicing and performing can make us not only better musicians, but more importantly, better people. And that became the thesis of the documentary.
That when all is well with your art, all is well with your life.
It goes in that direction. If you're an actor or if you're a musician, you have to integrate and synthesize your emotional, intellectual, and physical worlds. That's a very powerful attainment.
Yeah.
So when you attain it in your art, the idea is to direct it into every aspect of your life. And that really interested Ethan.
Yeah. Well, let's see what else Ethan was so taken with. We learn your life story. No music in your home growing up. You just knew you had to have a piano. And once when you were very young, your mother came very late at night, it sounds like, to find you crying over, was it Schubert?
Yes, you see, I was 6 years old, and I discovered Schubert's Serenade. As soon as I started to play it, it felt as though I had always known that piece. And I started to cry. Well, my mother was alarmed. She said, why are you crying? I said, it's the most beautiful piece I ever heard. And there it is. You're playing it for me.
Well, it's Horowitz playing it for you. It's so beautiful. And you knew that as a child, you were so struck with that beauty.
Can't account for it.
Yeah.
I mean, how could I ever think that I knew that piece? I didn't know anything about music at all.
Why did you quit?
You see, my initial ambition was to play my best in major concert halls, in spite of my nervousness. Well, it took me 50 years, and then finally I felt good on the stage. When I reached that pinnacle, I gave myself a present, and I arranged a farewell concert. And I brought my performing career to an end, and I have been happy ever since.
Well, interesting. Michael Kimmelman, one of your former students now, the architect critic for the New York Times, interviews you in the new documentary. He seems genuinely upset about the fact that you quit performing. He asked you, don't you feel a responsibility to perform given the incredible gift that you have? You had a great answer.
I did. I said, Michael, I poured it into you.
As a teacher. And I was thinking, but he's still performing. Teachers perform.
Yep. After all, when you're teaching, you can't only talk about music, you have to demonstrate it.
We see you teaching at home in your small studio apartment. You sleep on a fold-out couch. You're devoted to these students. We see you in a master class. You tell one player, don't play the keys all the way to the key bed. Another's leaning away from the piano, and you say that's taking the energy out of the notes. You gently push him towards the keys to keep the energy in the notes. What is the one thing, perhaps the primary thing, you want to communicate to pianists?
Well, the major thing is to become one with the music. And if you don't make the proper physical connection to what it is that you're feeling and thinking, then you can't project the music and the instrument doesn't respond.
Well, you talk about other famous musicians, Glenn Gould, the famously technically perfect performer, the interpreter of Bach. You're not as impressed with his work, but Sir Clifford Curzon, the British pianist. Let's listen to a little of him playing. You talk about how he was so compelling to you that you wrote a letter asking him if you could study with him. You went to Britain and did. Then you wrote a letter to the Queen later and asked why he wasn't knighted, why he didn't have a title. He got a title. Perhaps you had something to do with it. But as we're watching him play, it brings tears. Because what? What's happening on his face?
His face is reflecting his emotional response to the music.
Is it ecstasy or is it torture at times?
For him, it was both.
Yeah. And what appealed to you as we listened to his playing from another recording? What pulled you, Seymour Bernstein, to him?
His sense of interpretation.
Yeah.
How he actually responds to music. And the response, as played through the piano, comes out in the exact dynamic and the exact rhythmic formulation. Taking time here, moving there, etc.
Seymour Bernstein, you return to the stage at the end of the film. Ethan Hawke has asked you to perform for some fellow actors, his theater company, but also many of your students are there. It's in the Steinway studio.
In the rotunda of Steinway. It no longer exists, you know. Steinway moved out.
Right. Were you afraid?
Was I afraid? That's putting it mildly. I thought I was going to die. After all, after 37 years, it was quite something difficult to reunite as a performer in front of all of those people. And a movie was being made of it. You can just imagine. So I came into the hall, and I saw all these illustrious actors and actresses, and there were lights and cameras. I thought I was going to die, really. I mean, I thought, I can't survive this. Well, Ethan came over to me, gave me a big hug. And do you know what happened?
What?
A deathly calm came over me. Huh. And I remained that way throughout the recital. I did pretty well, I have to tell you the truth. And as many days later, I was contemplating, well, now how could I be so terrified at one moment and calm the next? And you know what I came up with?
What's that?
When you do something for someone else, it temporarily distracts you from your own vulnerability. And so I was going to do this for Ethan. There would be no way that I was going to let him down.
You know, Seymour Bernstein, I am thrown back. It's many years ago, and I'm in Ben Arrigo's studio taking lessons on Long Island. And you know what? Because of you, I bet I'm not the only one who's going to start playing again.
Seymour. Oh, this is great.
Seymour Bernstein, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
In the film, Seymour says music is like God, it's intangible, and he adds with a wink, but we have proof there is music. Here he performs Bach, Here and Now.